So here we are, episode 200. It must be a special episode because it would have to be a special occasion to get this man out from under his rock. What would you say, Roots? Probably the most requested potential guest on our program and one of only a handful of guests that we've ever even had on. Anthony, or the artist formerly known as Anthony from VR365. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. But, you know, it's funny because I've thought about potentially being on somebody's show and just kind of talking about VR. And so when I heard from you guys that you guys were having an episode 200, I was like, yeah, actually, that's a good idea. It's a way for me to do this thing and kind of just talk about VR a little bit now that I'm like so far removed from VR. And it's almost like for me, I have this like external overhead view of VR where I haven't really been paying attention to the daily minutiae. And I think it might be interesting for some of the people that are like have always been hardcore VR, have never left that bubble, to hear from somebody that was like super hardcore in the bubble and then like basically was Tom Hanks, you know, castaway, straight up castaway.
You know what you are now, Anthony? You're literally Joe Walmart. We've talked about you many times.
Basically, yeah. I have converted.
But I do appreciate you coming on. I mean, you're literally the godfather of our channel, I'd like to say. I mean, we all met in your chat, in your community, and it's all kind of everything we've done since then has sprung up from there. And that might seem like a small thing, you know, because I'm not like a big YouTuber or anything now. I mean, our channel is growing still slowly, but I mean, I work in the industry now and I do a lot. I'm on bigger channels and everything really all kind of stemmed from, you know, interacting with Roots and other people in your community. So very happy to have you on and glad to get your thoughts on VR as it stands today.
The VR Roundtable, that was like my first and still is my favorite podcast that I've watched in VR. I think you don't realize how much you've impacted at so many people, myself included. Just knowing you has been a pleasure. So yeah, I'm glad.
Can I look at my navel real quick? No.
You can. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny, Anthony, is like, as I go further, and I actually was just ranting a little bit on the Discord about this in a sense, like I've been playing so many amazing flat games, and I'm finding myself not quite in the same position you were at, but I've realized we're 5 years at least from where I want to be in VR with all the AAA games. And like, so I'm playing all these VR mods and I'm enjoying them, but VR as a whole is a lot more hollow now for me than it was a year ago, 2 years ago. And so like, I'm like struggling to find relevance and then have patience, because I know that there's processes that people want to go. If we had wanted to go from the NES all the way to the Switch, it doesn't work that way. It takes decades. And that the problem is we want decades from now VR, and it's not here, you know? And so I go into all these shallow VR games, and there's really good ones out there, but there's a lot of shallow ones gameplay wise that just don't the games that I've played this year flat, like some of the best games I've ever played, so deep and so amazing. And I could say that for Elden Ring last year and some of these other games. And so my problem is I'm a gamer first and a VR enthusiast second, and it's starting to become a weird situation. I guess all that being said is I'm seeing your outlook a lot more than I used to. Like, I used to look at it and like when you were getting frustrated, I didn't get it. Now I do. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because like, my history with video games in general is I always was this early adopter guy. Like that was like ever since I was like 19, 20, and I really got into video games. Like I bought a TurboGrafx. It was the very first system that I actually bought with my actual money. And then quickly, like a few months later, I ended up buying a Sega Genesis. I bought a Super Nintendo the day it came out. I bought the Sega CD the day it came out. I bought the Atari Jaguar the day it came out. I bought PlayStation 1 the day it came out. I bought the Saturn on the day that it secretly came out. Well, I mean, people didn't know before it was going to come out, then they knew, and I bought it that day. And I was this early adopter guy, and what I was always doing is I was always jumping to that next thing because I wanted the greater experience. That I was always chasing like this dragon of like this more powerful experience. No, I want it better. You know what I mean? It's like regular people. Yeah, you're playing those regular games. I want to jump to this like new level, this new plateau. And every new system that would come out, Nintendo 64, you know, I remember the first time I saw Mario running around and it was like Technicolor cartoon. It was at Toys R Us, at a little kiosk in Toys R Us. And those were the game changers for me. And then when VR came, like to me, it just seemed like it's a natural progression. Just like people were playing Super Nintendo and then they ended up getting a PlayStation. Well, when people first got the PlayStation, there wasn't a lot of people that were playing the PlayStation when it first came out. And most people were playing Super Nintendo and Genesis. And it took time for them to merge into finally getting a PlayStation. And so people would always come along. And the reason I'm telling this long, convoluted tale is because when it comes to VR, I had the same hope. I had the same hope that we're here first. It's an undiscovered country, like it always is whenever you're on a brand new platform. We're here first. And yeah, everybody's going to poo-poo it and say that, oh, that's a fad and it's not the thing and it's not going to be the thing. But like 4 or 5 years later, everybody comes along for the ride, right? And 4 or 5 years later, you get all the, everybody's there. This is where everybody's gaming. But this has not happened with VR. This is the reality. Like, a lot of things are going to be said during this conversation that is not necessarily going to be positive for VR in general. But I think we got to just, like, call a spade. And sometimes you just have to deal with, like, what is laying out there in front of you. And the truth of the matter is that VR has not caught on, like, any of these other things. Like everybody naturally progressed to PlayStation, and everybody naturally progressed to Dreamcast and PlayStation 2, and then everybody progressed to Xbox, and then Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Everybody moved along, and it took time, but everybody moved along. And with this VR thing, it's like the roads parted, and most people are just still in the regular gaming road. And a few people jumped over and tried VR. And, you know, remember how, like, many years ago we were like, oh, my God, is this going to poison the well? It kind of did. It kind of did poison the well because, like, if you spend much time on Reddit and if you ever go to Reddit all, where it's just, you know, all the subreddits, right? It's just, like, Reddit general. So you just see what, like, people across the country and the world, like just regular Reddit people. And so stuff will filter up from all the little subgenres, basically, that will filter in. And recently there was something that filtered in about the metaverse. And it was something like the metaverse was dead before it was something like the metaverse was dead before it even happened. Like it never even got to be alive, and they're mourning the metaverse and it was never alive. Yeah. And I'm seeing that from the sidelines, and I'm like, man, that's harsh. But in their reality, it's actually true. Now, I know in the hardcore VR game nut job reality, no, there's still plenty of great things that people are playing, and I'm sure there's people out there like Chris Richardson that is enjoying the shit out of everything VR that there is to offer. But they're kind of like the people that are in VR still. Are basically like the racing game guys that have the steering wheels and the freaking foot pedals and shit. And it's like the mainstream isn't there. Now, I'm not saying it can never happen. And honestly, if I'm betting money, I still believe, I've always said, you know, I had this phrase where I'd be like, VR has left the train station or whatever. You know what I mean? It's left the station. Like, it's over with. Like, this is going to happen. It's a matter of when. Well, the when is like 10 years longer than I could have ever imagined.
Right. And that's the problem. And that's what I was talking about the, and that's what I said in the Discord earlier. I can't imagine a traditional flat gamer that really loves flat gaming going into VR and being pulled over. There's a few games that they could hold up to the level, the Alex, whatever, but most games, they're just, it's not enough to entice people. And so that's, I believe that's what's not, why it's not been adopted. We don't, and I think, and I've said this before, I think the community is part of the problem, they want too much. They want everything to be first person, touch controls. There's a phase that they want to skip. They want to skip the hybrid phase. The hybrid phase makes the games feasible for big companies to make. It's a second nature. They don't have to think about putting it in VR. They put it in VR. The controls are the same. People go in, they experience the exact same game. They can put it out for two audiences, and it really doesn't cost much. And as you get 5, 10, 15, 20 amazing titles that are native to VR that you can go into. And some of the best games that I've played, actually the best games I've played in VR have been VR mods that aren't native, that feel native because they're amazing games. Uncharted 4, played that for the first time this last year. It's one of the best games I've ever played. It's opened my eyes to where, like I've said before, the devs, like, and it's not even their fault. That's the problem. Things are moving so fast. Like, a lot of these games, they just aren't cutting it. They're not on the level of anything that anybody wants to play. It's your baby. You made it. Everybody doesn't. You think everybody's going to love it. You put it out there, and it sucks because the game sucks. You know, like, it is what it is. And I'm frustrated because I want that level that you're talking about that you left VR because it isn't there. And I'm just realizing today, it's one of the reasons why I'm not getting the Quest 3. I got the Quest Pro. It's good enough for what we have. I don't think we need another headset meta. We need some fucking games that aren't episodic. You want to put out Assassin's Creed? Give me the real game, the actual fucking game in VR. Don't give me a little snippet. You know, that's part of the problem too. We get AAA light, and they need to step it up on what they're going to do. If they want the mass adoption of those players to come over from flat gaming, it's going to take a lot more than what's happening right now, even more than Asgard's Wrath 2, although I'm sure it'll be amazing. It's just not on the level of like a Remnant 2, even Diablo 4, Baldur's Gate 3. These are three of the most recent titles that have just been phenomenal this year, although Diablo 4 is now kind of garbage. So I don't know. I'm frustrated, Anthony. So I'm right there with you. I still love VR. I feel like we're further away than I would have ever dreamed to where I want it to be. And it's my personal problem. I realize that.
Let's talk for a minute about why that is. You know, Anthony, you mentioned this natural progression of going from one thing into the next thing into the next thing, you know, from Super Nintendo to PlayStation to PlayStation 2, 3, Xbox. And you expected VR to kind of follow the same trajectory after it came out. But something happened, you know, in that 3 to 5 year period after VR came out. You know, when VR first came, when you bought into it, it was largely exclusively a gaming platform. But over time, Meta kind of bought and co-opted VR. And that's when the things started kind of shifting away from gaming and like more toward metaverse and other applications other than gaming. Do you think that has anything to do with why we kind of broke away from that usual progression of video game technology? It's because they're trying to make this into more than just an entertainment device.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, like, what is the key problem? It is really what this all boils down to. And like Roots was talking about, it's that we don't have like real games, we don't have the real experiences. And then so he's saying like a better idea is let's have regular games and just kind of retrofit them to VR because that's where we're at right now, and we just deal with that. And then you're talking about how there's too much of a focus on maybe non-gaming. Maybe that's a problem. I honestly think that the core root of the problem, because what happens is when people get VR, like everybody goes through the same deal. I mean, everybody that gets VR goes through the same deal from the standpoint where they get really excited about it in the very beginning. They're like blown away. They're like, oh my God, this is so amazing. This is so incredible. There's that initial honeymoon period. And then what happens is over time, you just start using it less. And when you think about it that way, the true reality is it's just not effing compelling enough. That's just the bottom line. It's got to be so freaking compelling. Like, it's not compelling enough. I literally have not played VR in almost 2 years, yet I'm a former VR nut job that, like, talked about VR every day for, like, 4 years prior to that, thought about deep VR 24 hours a day, played VR all the time, was searching the news, watching trailers, doing all this stuff, and then I disappeared from VR for 2 years. Like, the fact that I'm able to actually do that tells you that it's just not that goddamn compelling. There's got to be shit on here where when you put that headset on, you're like, oh my effing God, I want to spend like 9 hours in this thing. And what happens is when people first get VR, they do kind of get that feeling, but it wears off pretty damn quick. And I feel like what happened is we started, well, really, honestly, the fault goes to like Meta, and it goes to Zuckerberg, like announcing the metaverse and changing your name to Meta and all of that. Probably like 7 years too early, like jumping the gun, like 7 or 8 years too early. This technology, we've made leaps and bounds, and I mean, it's incredible, like the advances that have been made, but at the same time, it's just not ready for prime time. It simply isn't. Like, these big headsets that people have on their head, like it's no, this is nowhere near ready for prime time. It's amazing that it even like did what it did and became a thing as much as it did when it's nowhere near ready. But I don't want people to think like, oh, Anthony's just shitting on VR and he thinks VR sucks. No, VR is going to be ridiculous. AR is going to be ridiculous. I still believe in that future. I believe that future is a can't miss future. It's just, I was like 15 years wrong, you know? So like 10 years from now, I think we will have the technological. I used to have a little show where I was like, have we hit the baseline? I had some kind of thing about, are we at the baseline level of hardware? And I'd have debates with Reckoner VR and stuff. You know, is VR at a base? I think we were talking about maybe the first Quest or something. We're like, has VR hit a baseline with the first Quest? And the answer is no. We have not hit a baseline, man. We're in the Atari 2600 ColecoVision Intellivision days. And if you go back to the Atari 2600 ColecoVision Intellivision days, back at that time, you could show some people this stuff and they'd be like, man, those are just bleeps and bloops. Wake me up when there's like actual people that look like real human beings. And you literally had to wait until like the Super Nintendo. You couldn't even show them the Nintendo Entertainment System because they'd be like, man, it still looks like stick figures. They're just a little bit bigger and they have a few more blocks on them, but it's not much. I mean, you literally had to wait for like Super Nintendo to even, for these people to even consider it. And I feel like we're kind of in the same thing with VR. And where I go back to is the real problem, in my opinion, is not like all these things that they're trying to do with, oh, we've got the new Snapdragon XR2 version, slightly overclocked. It's processing more polygons and stuff. It's not enough. It's not going to work. What we need, honestly, is we need a field of view that is way the F bigger, and the person themselves needs to be in VR. Like, if I was named like Grand Emperor of VR, I would say, okay, here's what we have to do. We have to literally throw everything away. And we have to start over from this idea of 220 degrees of vertical, the full human vision, okay? And I don't give an F if it's like 280p, okay? We need the full human vision combined with camera tracking, some sort of external camera tracking, AI, machine learning, whatever you want to do, that analyzes your body and does an automatic green screening of your body. And it puts your body into VR, whatever you're wearing, whatever, if you have a watch on or you don't have a watch on, if you have a tan right now or you don't, if you have tattoos or whatever, if you're wearing this shirt, if you're wearing that shirt, you're literally, whatever you are, you're in VR. We need to get to that level. Like when you're watching Stargate or something back in the 90s, and it was like anytime anybody went into some like new portal and they stepped into some new fantasy world for the first time, they would, every single time they would step through and they'd be like, oh my God, I've entered into this new world. We can't do that in VR. Still, to all this time, we're still not in the game. We're not in the game. EA, you're in the game. No, I'm not. We're still not in the game. So until we're actually in the game and until it actually has the full human field of vision, and I don't care if we're dealing with stick graphics, I don't care if we have to go back to Nintendo Entertainment level system graphics, but if we do that, we get the 220 degrees and we get ourselves completely in VR. But that'll be the true immersion. And then you build there. So I kind of go back to like, what Gabe Newell, like back in the days, he was saying, no, you've got to keep pushing this technology before you like settle in and say, oh, this is okay now. And then now you're going to iterate from this where you're not even there. We're not even there yet. So we hit this thing where it's like, oh yeah, let's settle down. It's nice and calm. This is comfy and cozy. And now we're going to build games in this little crappy environment. We haven't even hit the technological level that we need to get to. VR has to get to this point where every man, woman, and child that tries it, it's so effing compelling that they just can't resist it. And we're so far away from that, man. I truly wonder, like, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years? I know it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable as well. So I'm not, like, trying to shit all over this stuff. I'm just saying, like, I have friends where I've shown them VR and they'll look at it for a couple of minutes. Like, I have friends that have literally never tried VR in their entire life. I put them in VR. They're kind of amazed by it for about 15 minutes. And then 2 hours later, they're talking about, yeah, the Dallas is playing the 49ers. Like, they haven't had a game-changing experience that has changed their whole world. And they're like, wait a minute, I got to get home and I got to put my credit card in and I got to order this thing and I got to... It needs to be to the point where it's like, this is life. Like, I need this thing. I'm addicted to this thing. And we're just nowhere near there, in my opinion.
So do you think that kind of the steps that we're... Because I agree with you, and I think we all agree that, you know, the end game is what you're describing. It's retinal resolution. It's varifocal lenses. It's Kodak avatars that are photorealistic. That's what we're all building toward. And even Meta will tell you that that's kind of the goal. Do you think that kind of the stepping stones that we're going through right now is getting us there quicker by allowing us to kind of fund research to lead us there? Or do you think that it's holding us back by having some people kind of settle for the current level of the technology rather than really pushing for something transformative?
I think it's both of those simultaneously, which is the problem. Like Meta has done the most for VR, but it's also hurt VR the most in certain sorts of ways.
Agree.
Where
Agree.
It Hold has on. Yeah, it, I mean it has created this baseline standard that's good enough. And it see the problem is the Quest 2 was just barely successful enough, that it made them think that they're on the right track and everything's good with this. And so now, one thing I will say, I did see, like, I saw Mark today. I watched some of the Kinect. I didn't see the entirety of the whole thing. But I saw a lot of it. And the one thing that I am excited about to a slight degree with the Quest 3, the thing that I'm most excited about, and this is another problem that I was going to bring up, like VR has problems. There's a lot of problems. For example, I've moved to this apartment. I'm in this apartment right now, and right up there is a ceiling fan. My other room has a ceiling fan. I have this other little bedroom, but it's got like a slanted roof where, like, if I was playing something and going like that, I could smack my controller against the roof. And so basically I've all, like, every single room in this apartment is not designed for VR. And I can remember in the very early days of VR, do you guys remember when Strauss Zelnick for Take-Two Interactive, the head honcho of Take-Two Interactive, you know, Grand Theft Auto, 2K Sports, blah, blah, he said, VR is never going to work. And he basically said, people aren't going to dedicate a room to this. That was one of his key phrases. And you know what? Dude actually nailed it. He actually nailed it like 10 years early and dodged all those like Microsoft, if you want to give somebody an award, like, let's be real. Let's be honest. Do you know how many billions and millions of dollars that Microsoft has dodged by not investing in VR in a major way? And it honestly has freaking, like, they've been rewarded. Like, they called it right. Like, everything's worked out for them. Okay. But in regards to this room thing, back in the days when we first saw the Qualcomm XR2 and they had those Qualcomm commercials, and it was like scene recognition and understanding. And, you know, it had the kid running up the stairs, and it was like he was in Vanishing Realms. You know, he's in like a role-playing game in his own house, and he jumps onto his bed, which is like a thing in the role-playing game. You know, we saw those commercials years ago, and this Quest 3, they were showing that, you know, it's going to kind of map your room and stuff.
Yeah.
But my question with that is, like, okay, like, I'm interested in seeing that and how good it is, but that is really key. And I don't feel like this $499 thing is going to actually have the required technology to really do that properly. But I do believe that that is a huge part of the problem, is that you can't just be free with VR. Like, I have this big ass TV right here, and if I start playing VR in this room, it's going to be so easy for me to potentially smack this TV. So for me to play VR in this room, and I've done it before. I did, like, when I first moved here, I played VR occasionally in this house a few times. And what I would do is I would take this TV and I pushed it all the way back against the wall. And then I, like, cleared everything out of here so there were no little obstructions. And then I would draw my little play area. But it would only be so big because, you know, I'm in this small little thing. See, that's the thing. I was so spoiled, man. Remember that man cave I had that was, like, gigantic? And in the early days of the Vive, I had, like, a 20 by 20 freaking humongous play area. I could crawl on the ground, unseen diplomacy, you know, where you're going through the ducts and stuff of a building and you're, like, climbing through here and going around there. Oh man, dude, that shit was so next level. But that was a huge ass play space. And so now I'm in this situation, kind of like Gary in his little garage in the back, you know, that you can, he can play in. He always had this super small space, and I'm in that sort of a situation here. And it just doesn't bode well for VR. But if we really do have headsets that can truly understand your rooms, and here's what I think they need to do, though. I think they need to go way beyond just having the headset, like, look around at your room, you know, and it puts a mesh over everything. Like, that's great. Obviously, that's the first step. But I think if Oculus, Facebook, Meta, whoever, I mean, if they were to go real deep with this, what I think they should do is they should actually have a catalog of, like, sofas. And it's like, you're sorting through sofas. Oh, there it is. There's my sofa. And then they're like, boom. You get, like, it's measuring it, and it plops it into place. Oh, there's my table stand. You know, like, the picture analyzes, like, is this your table stand? This is how many inches. And then it starts to literally learn, okay, like, this wall, this ceiling, it starts to realize this is the kitchen, this is the living room. Now, this becomes a dystopian nightmare in certain ways as well, because you're like given all of it. You're giving all of it to Zuck and company. Like, they're going to know everything. Because literally what it needs to know, it needs to know that, oh, you left your slippers. You know, you left your basketball, right? Like, it needs to, like, recognize objects that come into your play area that aren't always in your play area. Cats, dogs, a kid walking by or whatever. It's going to have to learn, like, what about the legality of all this shit, man? Do you remember in the very earliest days of VR, we used to have debates, like, because remember when, I'm talking the early days of VR, like 2016. Remember when Oculus just had the two cameras? They weren't doing the freaking lighthouse thing, right? They were doing full-on motion control. It was like an Xbox controller with two cameras. They were afraid in the early days. They were afraid of, like, liability. And why wouldn't they? Where's the people that have died in VR? Has anybody, like, people should have probably died in VR. Like, people that are playing upstairs and they have, like, these, like, open railings where if they walk too far, they could just fall over and bam, hit their head or something, you know? And it's like, you would think there would be these legalities to it. And for them to actually do this mesh thing where they're going to be, like, scanning people's rooms. Now, if it had freaking LiDAR built into the headset, like, Waymo cars have, or Chevy Cruze or something,
or,
like,
or,
that,
or Apple Vision Pro, which is coming next year, does have LiDAR in it.
Yeah, or Apple Vision Pro, and you know, Apple, you know, we can talk about that as well. And the one thing I'll say, like, if we want to segue to Apple, is goddamn, they did one thing that was absolute genius, and I just. Roots, what do you think it is, like, the one thing that they did that was absolute genius with that Apple Vision Pro?
I don't know. That's a good question. I know that, I don't know. What is it?
They put your face on
it. It's the eyes. It's the eyes, man. Yeah, it's that little, that idea is so effing dope. Like, when I first saw that, I was like, damn, I wish I was on a show and I could talk about this, because this is the full difference. That, you know, that when Facebook saw that, they're like, oh, damn, they got us with that shit. Because basically what they did is that Apple Vision Pro, the little screen that is on the outside, like, it's not high resolution or anything. It's not a live video feed of the person's eyeballs or anything like that. But you know what? The way it looked, I mean, based on these videos and stuff, I mean, obviously, I haven't seen one in person. And maybe if I saw one in person, I'll be like, oh, no, the illusion is broken and it's garbage and it doesn't. But what they're doing is they're using, like, they scan your face, they get a picture of your face, and then they're just using AI and basically, like, having your eyes blink normally and stuff like that. And it just, it's just enough.
Anthony, it's even more than that. Like, they have cameras pointed at your eyes, and literally what you're looking at in the room, it follows your eyes. And if you blink in the thing, it blinks on the screen for you. So it is actually pretty close to a one-to-one of what's happening inside the headset.
It's so genius, though, too. And it's also, it's not like it's this super expensive screen that they have on the outside. It's like the way they've integrated it. It's like, you know, it just gives you a little something, something. I just think, oh, my God, they freaking knocked it out of the park with that. And then in terms of, like, the actual quality of their screen and like, the quality of the pass-through. This is the other thing. Let's talk pass-through, ladies and gentlemen. Like, all these pass-through advertisements that you see with Meta where they're showing, like, oh, that all of a sudden you've got Magic Leap 2 up in your Oculus Quest, you know, Dr. Gorgeous coming through the walls and shit, right? And that looks super cool. Like, I'm down for all of that. But here's the problem. Not everybody's living in a place that has freaking lights on. Like, for that shit to look that good, your lights need to be bam, like, low, like, I mean, like, try having some cameras on right now in my room right now with the amount of light that's in here. It ain't going to look nothing like that. That's the problem, is, like, I just don't think we're there. I don't think Apple shit's going to be there either, but it's going to be a hell of a lot closer. But you know, it's 2,000, yeah. 3,000 or whatever.
This is why I think we're making a pretty big step with this generation that we're just about to enter. And it is the mixed reality. And, you know, 6 months ago, I would have told you that all this AR, MR stuff they're doing is just a gimmick. But when you really think about it, you know, with the Apple and the eye contact and the pass-through and the fact that you're going to be able to be connected to other people in the room when you have your headset on. And with the Quest 3, the fact that the games are now happening in your play space, it eliminates at least some of the barriers that VR has had. Because, you know, as good and as immersive as the games have been up to this point, you still can't really feel like you're free, because like you said, you might bust your ceiling fan or break your television, so you can't really play like you want to play. You're always holding back a little bit. In addition to that, these mixed reality games are going to completely get rid of the biggest barrier for virtual reality, and that is the motion sickness, the VR sickness. You know, I still think I will prefer full-on immersive VR games, but for somebody new who's coming into VR, most, you know, half of people play it, they get sick, they put it down, they never come back. I think this mixed reality stuff is going to completely eliminate all of that, and it might not have the wow factor that we had in 2016 or 2017 with some of the games that were coming out back then, but I think it's going to be much more palatable to a Joe and Sally Walmart, so to speak.
Yeah, too bad there's no games really, right? I mean, it's, yeah, there, you, yeah. There's like the Xbox or whatever, and like, but like they're definitely not going the games route. And they're, you know, we kind of knew that they weren't going to have a controller. Like everybody kind of, I mean, I think everybody kind of knew that. That's an Apple thing to do. And it was funny because today, you know, with Kinect and Quest 3, you know, Mark several times was like, yeah, if you don't want to use a controller. In fact, I'm kind of surprised they're not actually shipping a Quest 3 without those controllers for like $299, like the entry level. And you know that's coming.
Yeah,
you
they're talking about
absolutely
that.
Absolutely, that's coming.
Yeah, there was a leak. There was a leak about a month ago that said that they're doing like a Quest 3 Lite or something like that. That is, I'm not sure.
$199, right?
Yeah, it was super cheap. The specs are cut back a little bit. It does do the mixed reality and no controllers. It's all hand tracking.
What an Apple thing to do as well. That little knob to like increase your reality or decrease your reality, you know, just knob, like genius. But the thing on the front with the eyeballs and all that, like that was just straight up genius. And I really wonder, it's crazy too, because Valve basically could have done that. Like remember the Valve Index? Remember the frunk or whatever, the trunk on the front that, you know, could have had like, I think they even made little video things that could have done that. Like they kind of could have did that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question? Is so PC VR is just dead as a doornail. Like no one's like, remember back in the days of like, yeah, Samsung's going to make an incredible headset. You know, Samsung will be our savior. Remember Bugavision and all that? Like there's no other headsets. This is the other disappointment that I want to cry about, is like, I always thought I would go away for a couple of years and somebody would have some unbelievably incredible headset would come out that would just blow people's minds, like on the PC VR level. And it looks like that dream is just completely dead. Bruce and like House. Asgard's Wrath 2 is a Quest 3 game. So, yeah.
Well, and that's been they've done that with several games now, right, Wes? As they come out with these games, they just don't have a PC version anymore. Yeah. Something like the Climb 2, which, you know, I like that the visuals on that is why you play that game, and you couldn't play it on PC. So,
yeah, I think that will eventually come back as the technology continues to grow and you know, PCs become more and more powerful and less expensive. It'll become a viable platform for game developers to release games on again. But I mean, even cloud gaming is going to kind of, I think, positively impact the baseline quality of our games and make high-end VR more viable in the years to come. But we're not there yet. But you're right. I mean, the only thing that's keeping PC VR afloat at all right now is the modding scene, which, by the way, is about 100 times cooler than it was when you stopped playing. Literally, within a year, about probably more than half of the AAA flat games that are available on PC are going to be playable in VR. And that's amazing. And there's already a lot. It's just as important on our show. We spend just as much time praising that stuff as we do like native VR games now, just because the mods have gotten so incredible.
What about this, guys? Remember when VR first came around and everything, there was this thought that we were going to have incredible video experiences, like non-games, video, like incredible immersive video, like, 180 degree, whatever, different kinds of videos that were just going to be next level. And it was like companies were like working on the technology, like Google was working on some, there's demos and stuff where they show like this guy and he's like playing with his dog and he throws a thing and the dog goes and runs and stuff. And this other guy's like welding stuff. And it's like, dude, where's our video revolution? Yeah. That shit never happened. And what is the actual, like, what is the weakest link? Like, what is the problem? Is it like just storage space? Is it just the resolution of the headsets, or just no, they can't handle it? Like, what is
the cameras are there now. Like, the cameras are a lot better than they used to be, but they're fucking expensive, dude. Like, to get a legit good professional VR camera is like $20,000-$30,000, which is crazy. But you're right. And by the way, Roots, what he's talking about here is Prawn. Just so you know.
No, I'm actually not, though. I'm actually not, but Prawn is important as well. And I don't know what's gone. Like, I remember the Prawn that I saw back, years back. And it's, again, it's not, like, it should be at a level where people put it on and it's like, oh, my God, divorces have increased by 50%. We're not seeing that yet. Like, it's not there yet. Like,
we're getting there.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're going to be putting the lady in your bedroom within 6 months, probably. So
I think what you said earlier, Anthony, is key. As far as form factor, we need this field of view, and companies like Pimax are still getting these huge headsets, which nobody wants to wear the smaller headsets. Friction is real. That's usually what keeps me from getting in the headset, is just putting it on, although the Quest Pro is very easy to put on and it's kind of slides on really good. And so I getting it to a point where you don't even feel like there's a headset on, the big screen headset that sadly it's Bradley is always raving about does that. And I think they need to work on this form factor as well, because it's right now that even the Quest 3 I think is probably without it
too heavy. You see the Quest 3 videos that they have, right? And they have these videos like, yeah, you're gonna pin this stuff, so you're gonna have like in your house you're gonna have this like poster of Jurassic Park, and it's going to have the dinosaurs roaring and jumping, and it's like this idea that you're really going to leave your headset on 24 hours a day. Like, we're nowhere near that, but that's kind of like, it's going to be one of these things where everybody does it for that gee whiz factor. So you're going to have your headset on, and for the gee whiz factor, you're going to be like, yeah, look, I pinned a calendar here, and I pinned this over here, and I've got this stuff up here. Headset on and walk around my house, you'll see all the little things. And look, in the kitchen there's like a recipe for how to make pancakes, and it's just a giant thing floating over there. Like, it's amazing, right? But we're not in a world like that. Like yeah, that's the future, and I understand they want to show that off because they want people to like get a glimpse of where the future is going. But it's like, yeah, these headsets, like, it's a conundrum. Like, the whole VR thing is a conundrum from every possible angle. It's like, Let's go smaller because comfort is a harsh problem. But then, oh, now you're not getting 220 degrees. And like, you know, they're talking about the pancake lenses. There's downsides with pancake. Like every little thing is a trade-off. Everything is a trade-off. And so it's going to be so many years. It's incredible because like if I was to live till I'm like 85 years old, I'll look back at like these headsets that we have and they're just going to look like absolute monstrosities, you know, like these big ginormous things that people actually, it's going to just look crazy. Almost like you look at an old rotary phone, you look at this big phone that people had to go around and around and around to dial with and these big handsets and stuff. And you're just like, damn, people did that shit back in the day. And, but there's so many conundrums. I don't know, like, it's unbelievable. Like, what do you focus on? For me, I go back to filled. I go back to immersion. I think where we need to start is immersion. 100% immersion, 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 immersion. And you build out from immersion, but you start with maximum immersion. And the only way I think you start with maximum immersion is the full human field of view. We've got to do it. You've got to do the full human field of view, and you've got to put the person in VR. And if I was king of the world, I would be like, these are the two things that we must do. Full human field of view, put the human being in VR. I don't give a damn if everything looks like combat from the 2600, Atari 2600. I don't care if everything looks like an Intellivision and ColecoVision game. Let's start there, and then let's improve from there. But they'll never do that. And so we're going to be in this weird thing where it's like, we kind of need to throw this entire VR away and start over from scratch, but nobody's going to be willing to do that. But then VR is never going to gain any kind of real mass adoption because unless we completely ditch all of this and damn near start over from scratch, it's not going to work. You know, Facebook, like, here's something I really wonder, because, like, I have Facebook stock. I bought Facebook stock a long time ago. And I wonder, like, long term, because Zuckerberg, when he first started talking about this whole thing, when he bought Oculus for $2 billion and the whole deal, it was like a 10-year plan. Dude, the 10-year plan is damn near over with, and we're nowhere, they're nowhere near a billion people in VR or like actually real profitability or anything like that. And at some point, like today, the stock was down. Like, I'm really into stocks and stuff. I watch stocks a lot because I'm like close to my, I'm close to potentially like an early retirement. I'm trying to shoot for like an early, there's this thing called FIRE, financial independence, retire early. And I'm into this whole thing and I'm like doing portfolio shit. And like everything was green today except for Meta. And I was thinking it's because people are being reminded they're dumping billions of dollars into VR. And like the real investors don't get, like, they look at all this VR stuff as just a giant money pit. Like that, all they see is like, oh my God, this is a, like, Zuck is just wasting so many resources. He's wasting so many billions. And my worry is, the sales of these things, like, is Quest 3 going to, like, are people going to run out and buy Quest 3? I don't think so, because I think it had the Quest 2 moment, and that was the effing moment. And it didn't, and it, like, kind of did a thing, and then it kind of faded out. And you've got little kids that are still in a Quest 2 and stuff, but are they all running to buy Quest 3 for $500? And his mom and dad ready to kick out $500 when they just bought him a Quest 2 a couple of years ago, and Timmy lost his freaking controller and they had to buy it. Like, can you even buy individual controllers? You probably can't. Like, the way they do this shit is like, if you lose your controller, you damn near need to buy the whole entire thing all over again.
Just fix the fucking controllers, Valve. Come on.
No, just have control. Like, dude, Sony, like, even Sony doesn't do this probably too with their PlayStation VR 2.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. You have no idea. My co-host Brian on PSVR Without Parole, his fucking PSVR 2 died within a month of him getting it. He sends the thing back to them, and they never even email him to tell him that they've got it. 3 fucking months go by. He keeps calling them, and they, what happened was they lost his headset. They straight up lost it, and he just now got a new one for it. But yeah, you're right. It's unfucking believable, these customer services.
Crazy. No, but why can't these, like, even if the controller costs $99 for one brand new left-handed controller, and $99 or even $149 or whatever, just effing do it. Just make 10,000 of them and have them sitting on the side. Why does someone have to buy an entirely new headset or go to eBay to find somebody that had their controller stolen and all they have is the left controller now, so they're selling a left controller and that's what you need, so it works out perfectly. Like, dude, do you know the Quest 1 controllers? At one point in time, dude, you could sell a Quest 1 controller for, like, a working one for, like, $90, $100 on eBay because you can't buy them nowhere. And somebody that would be like, well, I'll pay $100 for that just so I can have my thing working again. And it's like these VR, and like, still, are there gift cards for the Oculus store after 25 years?
Is. Oh, there is. Okay. There is now, yeah.
Okay, there is.
They're finally coming up. Yeah, they're finally coming around to those little quality of life upgrades, Anthony, after 5 years, or I guess 7 years, right? It's crazy.
So my kind of question to you is, then we're all kind of on the same page about where it's going, and I don't think too many people in the know really doubt where it's all going to end up. There's debate about how we get there and how long it takes. I'm still very much in the camp. I'm one of these VR nut jobs that I take delight in the small leaps that we make each generation. And it seems like each generation, you know, in terms of hardware, we make a pretty big leap. We get new capabilities, and I'm still an enthusiast for that stuff. Is there any kind of feature that's going to pique your curiosity before we get to that 220 field of view with codec avatars? Or are you going to try out, you know, Quest 3 generation or Apple Vision Pro or any of this stuff? Or are you just not even interested at all in it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I would love to try it out, but I'm not going to, like, buy one to try it out. So it's like I would have to know somebody that, like, bought a Quest 3, and I'd be like, hey, man, could I just try that for a weekend or something, you know, just to see. Like, I am super, like the one thing about the Quest 3 I would really love to know is the scene recognition, like, basically how it analyzes your house, how it analyzes your rooms, how it remembers your rooms, what it does.
Probably similar to PSVR 2, right? Because it has this feature already, right, Wes, where you can look around your room and it kinda maps it.
But the Meta, I think, is going to be even more advanced because they're using, like some AI with it and, like, spatial recognition. It's got that 3D depth sensor on it. The PSVR doesn't have that. Mm. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Anthony, because they were worried about liability. Even a year ago when they put the Quest Pro headset out, initially, that Quest Pro had a 3D depth sensor in it. They ended up removing that because they were worried about liability, because you can literally use that thing to see through people's clothes and see what they look like naked. But
Anthony's getting a Quest 3.
Here we are 6 months later. 6 months later, we're getting Quest 3, or 9 months later, whatever. We're getting Quest 3, and they've put that back in there now. Like, it seems like as time goes on and on, they're less and less worried about infringing upon people's privacy.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I also, the pass through, I would love to, I'd love to try it. You know, I would love to, but honestly, like, looking at the graphics of Asgard's Wrath 2 and like, you know, yeah, it's got better technological capabilities and they're improving. You know, they showed, like, video of Saints and Sinners, you know, running side by side, and they showed, you know, more zombies and stuff like that stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's still, see, it's the conundrum of, like, it's mobile power. Like, even if you have the most powerful PC VR known to man, you're still not seeing photorealism anywhere. Right. You know, you're closer, and you can kind of, like, pretend you're in photorealism for brief periods of time, but you, even with that, you don't have photorealism. So So how are you going to get it with a mobile chipset anytime in the near future? And then it's like, oh yeah, well, what about the cloud? You know, it's just going to, like, everything's going to be running in the cloud, and we're going to have five. Remember, we used to think, oh yeah, it'll have a 5G modem, and they'll just be beaming shit into it, and it's going to be incredible, and the graphics will be just totally next level. And they'll be, you know, this is where the video revolution happens as well, right? Because of, like, the gigantic amounts of bandwidth that it would require to have a full 360 degree video of NFL, where it's like, I remember Intel back in the days, I used to run this, you know, these trailers that everybody runs in the background, right? I would always run this trailer of Intel where they were going to have all these cameras around NFL stadiums, and they were going to create this, like, incredible 3D vision of NFL games where it uses, like, AI and all this stuff to stitch all these camera views together, where you can, like, rewatch an NFL game and literally be anywhere and be, like, sitting, like, 5 yards behind the quarterback when he hikes it, and he, you know, drops back, and he, like, gets right beside you, and he's throwing the ball, and it's, like, freaking photo real, crystal clear, 4K, whatever, everything. But I don't know, man. Doesn't seem like any of it's really happening. It's like, I don't know. I mean, there's cool things that are, like, what is the best VR game? Is there a killer app? Like, in all these years that I've been sitting on the sidelines, there isn't even anything where it's like, God, I feel crunchy because I don't have VR. Where's San Andreas VR, goddammit?
Yeah, for real.
I thought they were going to announce that today. Maybe.
Yeah, what about nice. The Assassin's Creed? Like, I saw a couple clips. I just saw the clips that they showed. Is there actually, like, detailed trailers for this new Assassin's Creed?
Right here.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, some people that have been kind of negative on the prospect of this game have recently played it, and they haven't said a lot, but what they have been able to say is that it was way better than they thought it was going to be, and they were relatively impressed with it. So I'm starting to become a little bit more bullish on this game. We don't have long to wait. I think this is coming out in less than 2 months. So,
is there a PC version at all?
No,
not that we know of. Not right now.
Yeah. So, is these graphics that we're looking at are supposed to be Quest 3, basically?
Yeah. This is Quest 3 graphics. That's right. Which,
so, I mean, have you ordered?
You gotta admit, that's not bad for a standalone. It looks pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there definitely is improvement. I mean, you can see an improvement. Again, though, it's like you want to actually have the headset on and really see it yourself.
Right,
like,
right.
The problem with all these things is, like, they try to make it look so good. So,
it's like the Big Mac in the commercial, right, with the fluffy green lettuce and the juices.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
But here's the thing, though. If you make the gameplay compelling and fun enough, it doesn't need to be the best graphics in the world. It'll immerse you on the gameplay alone. That's why Uncharted 4, even though I had to turn the graphics down some, because it's a VR mod, the gameplay, the story, AAA, the amount of money that was poured into that game is so deep and so amazing. I can get excited about this game, but I can't get that excited about this game because how deep is it going to go? I'm pretty sure it's gonna be, you know, a taste of Assassin's Creed world. And
right.
For me personally, I'm not looking for a taste. Well, okay, yeah, 10 hours. But how deep of this gameplay? I want the actual game. That's my thing. I'm tired of people giving. Or I guess we're at a step. We're not at the point where this is. You know, we've for many years we had. Wow, this is the closest. This is the Assassin's Creed of VR. This is the Spider-Man of VR. This is the blah, blah, blah of VR. Now we're actually getting Assassin's Creed in VR, but how deep is it? You know, like, I don't even care about how long it is. 10 hours can be monotonous, you know? Like, 10 hours is great. I 10 hours would be perfect for me. But how deep am I going to go in there?
The thing I actually enjoyed about VR was all the short games. Like, I like short games because I'm not the guy that, like, comes home every night and freaking pours 5 hours, 6 hours straight into, like, whatever game. And, yeah, I want to play it for fucking 9 months in a row every day, 5 hours, man. I kind of like these 2-3 hour games because I'm more of a casual guy anyway. So it's like, I can actually finish games and actually get to the end of the story and, like, you know, A Fisherman's Tale or whatever, like, actually finish the whole thing. Like normally I don't even finish stuff because they made it so goddamn.
See, I want a game that makes me think about it when I'm not playing it. Like a game that's so amazing. And I go back to Uncharted 4 or anything of that nature that like the story, like it little things that big gaming companies do.
Where's Fallout 3? Like they have the engine with Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah.
Like Fallout 3 was, dude, what a game that you talk about where it's like you think about it when you're not even playing it. For me, it was Fallout 3. Oh, my God. 2008, 2009, whatever, on the Xbox 360, Fallout 3 was like, that was my jam, bro. I built a freaking killer-ass PC just so I could play a modded version of Fallout 3 with all these high-res textures and everything, with the streets looking freaking incredible. Because for me, it was like walking around the wasteland and just the vibe, just like the howling winds, just like the music, it's just kind of playing in the background a little bit, just wasteland shit. Because, dude, Fallout 4, I'm a Fallout guy. Fallout 4 was it's not a good game. It's just not, like, Fallout 3 was such a better game, so many angles, in my opinion. And it's like, I guess they never did it. It's just free money, but I guess they never did it because, like, the installed base just isn't there for them to want to do it. Like, again, everybody did not come over to VR. Like, we all moved to PlayStation. We all moved to Nintendo 64. We all moved to Dreamcast. And eventually, everybody kind of moved along. But VR, people kind of move one foot in there, and then they jump back out. Now they're just playing PlayStation 5.
Well, what's the difference in those scenarios, though? Like, each one of those was a step up in fidelity and gameplay. And in VR, you went into these experiences, but you got to give me more than being in there. Like, I need to do something when I'm but in this being experience. Being in
there is pretty fucking amazing.
Well, it is.
The real difference, though, is every one of these things, you were sitting on a couch with a controller. This is fundamentally different. And, like, some people just, like, again, some people, like, I've gone back and forth in this idea. Do I really want to stand all the time? Or like, I remember in VR,
I play seated. I play seated 95% of the time. I don't stand up in VR at all.
It's funny because in the early days of VR, it's like, no, man, I want the immersion. I want to be standing up. I want to be in VR. You know, I'm holding this shield. I'm holding the sword. My boots are on the ground. That's VR. And then, but I've come around to this argument of just being kind of lazy and being like, nah, man, I don't want to do all that. And I will say this, like, if you go back to the Meta 3, the Quest 3 headset with the pass-through, right? And, like, this idea that you could be playing, like, a Risk game, you know, with a bunch of people. Like there. Okay, see that? Yeah. Like that board
co-location.
Game.
Like, it's called co-location, yeah.
Can you do that? Can four people be wearing Quest and they can all sit around? Like, are we there yet?
Yes. Okay. You can do that in Demio now, which is incredible. You don't even need your controllers to do it either. Like, you can four people stand around a table with Demio all over the table, and you can just use your hands to move the things around and pick the cards. It's pretty good from what I hear. But cool. But no, I will say this. I get the source of your disillusionment, and I'm with you. I wish we were further along, but I would be remiss if I didn't say you are missing some stuff. It isn't where we'd like for it to be, but Resident Evil 8 was pretty fucking amazing. Gran Turismo 7, pretty fucking amazing. Vertigo 2, absolutely great. And then the mods are incredible. I mean, they just did Far Cry 6. In VR, which is we're going to be playing that pretty soon, but I hear it's great as well. You are missing out, you know. On
what
some
about
stuff.
PlayStation VR? PlayStation VR 2, really quick, dude. I have okay. So sometimes when I go into Reddit on one of my browsers or something, whenever I would click on Reddit, it would always go to the PlayStation 2 subreddit, and it still does that. So sometimes, like, I'll be doing something and I click on that, and boom, I'm in the PlayStation VR subreddit, and I'm like looking at the things that people are talking about, And I'm like, God damn, this is so sad. Why did Sony do this again? Where they like freaking bring out a platform and then don't follow up with the effing software. It's like, yeah. Why are you guys doing this? And like, where people, it's one of these things, I remember it back with the Nintendo 64 so very well. Dude, in the first couple of years of the Nintendo 64, there literally would be like 3 or 4 games a month, and that was it, bro. And you better enjoy one of those 3 or 4 games because you weren't getting shit other than that. And so it was like you were so desperate for every little game. So you put every little game on a fucking pedestal. And a lot of times this stuff seems to happen in the PSVR subreddit. There will be all these people making like, no, this is a good game, though. There's this one good game, though. And it's like, dude, when are we going to have a smorgasbord of like some heavy hitters? Like, honestly, there really is some responsibility here on Sony and on Meta. Where's the effing killer app? Where's like Root's talking about Uncharted 4 and VR. Where's the real Uncharted VR? Don't these companies realize that they're going to have to jump on a grenade for the boys and they're going to have to take a $10 million, $25 million, $100 million hit and just have one of the best studios they have making a super detailed, intricate game for a device that only has a couple million people that own it? Yeah, sometimes you have to sacrifice for the greater good. Sometimes you have to show something to build it, to make it happen. You know, Doom came out of nowhere in 1993 and it sold a lot of effing systems. And Super Mario 64 sold a lot of effing systems. And sometimes you just gotta have a killer effing app. And why hasn't Oculus themselves, I mean, why hasn't Facebook, Meta, why haven't they dropped like $100 million making a banging Quest 2 game that just, like, where's their Half-Life 2? Where's Sony's Half-Life 2? Like, just one that, like, we don't have one single game that is a can't-miss, like, 100% recommend. Like, even Half-Life 2, you can't even say that about it. I mean, it's the closest, I guess, but...
Yeah, that's a valid point and something that we hear often, even from the PSVR faithful, is like, it had a pretty good launch. It had a solid launch lineups with some must-own games. But, you know, as far as first-party big-budget stuff goes, it's been silence since then. And that was February, bro. That was February. So, like, people are wondering, you know, like most of us believe that these games are in development. We think maybe the pandemic and the shortages and all that kind of set us back a couple of years and these games are in development. But we don't know. Because they won't even give us a sizzle reel to like show us, okay, here's what's coming next year, the year after that. There's this kind of debate: are they drip feeding us on purpose? Or is the Jim Ryan era just full of ineptitude? Because you know the flat gaming is seeing a similar silence with regard to what's coming. So I can agree with you there. I will say this, Roots, you probably don't even know this yet. Jim Ryan announced today. He's stepping down in March. So we're about to get a new regime in at Sony. And I really hope
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it means good things for us PlayStation gamers because we want to know what's coming.
We need more games like this. Resident Evil 4, come out with a mod, with the controller. I believe it should be standard. You have a new game come out, flat game, they should have a VR mode coming with it. Start stacking these fucking libraries with amazing AAA titles that, sure, some people are going to poo-poo it and say, oh, I don't have touch controls. I don't want it. Well, bye. I do. I really want it. And I think you get 20, 30, 40 amazing titles, Resident Evil 4 remake or whatever on your platform. You'll start to entice these flat gamers to come over. They want to play their games in VR. They don't want to come over and play a different version, a light version of it. And I really think that's the problem.
You can climb with your hands.
Yeah, I can climb. I can look at my hands. I can, you know, like you can do it all. And you know, so people in the flag gaming in they believe VR is a gimmick because the games, when they go in there, and this is what happens, they come over to VR, they're blown away for a little bit. Then they start to see that these games are pretty shallow, and then they put it on the shelf and it collects dust, and they go back to Remnant 2 and Baldur's Gate 3 and these, you know, games that had hundreds of millions of dollars poured into them. It's all about the money, right? So I just feel like these hybrid games are the way to go for short term. I'm not saying we won't don't. Yeah, and the
Prey Dog that Universal 3D Injector coming soon to a PC near you.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to inject. I think they've got what over 500 games tested.
It's around 500. Yeah, yeah. Basically everything on almost everything on Unreal Engine 4 and Unreal Engine 5 will be playable in VR on PC shortly.
And it'll be free. And yet, well, we're running out of time, Wes. They said before the end of the year. We're now into October almost.
Yeah, well, there are reasons behind that, and we can talk about that privately if you want, but it's coming.
Cool. That's what gets me excited, Anthony, that because I right now, that's my disillusionment with VR, is like I can't get the VR game that I want out of the developers that exist right now that are building from the ground up. I just can't. They don't have the resources, the time, they don't have the inclination. So I'm forced to go play all these amazing AAA games VR modded if I want to play any game with amazing depth to it. And I guess it's a good problem to have it, that it exists. But I'll say this now, if the modding scene wasn't as good as it is, I might have walked away a year ago. As I, you know, like I've been struggling because I just want to play amazing games in VR. A lot of the games, they're boring. I go in and I'm just like, I don't know why I'm even in there. Well, I know why I'm in there. I'm in there to talk about it for the show. So if I wasn't on a show, I wouldn't even be in there at all. And so it's just a weird place to be.
Yeah, VR is a trip, though. I mean, man, I remember, because I've been out of VR for so long. And I remember there would be these VR games I would go into where, like, what's that one game where it's almost like you're skating, but you're, like, going way up in the air and shit, and then...
Jet Island?
Yeah, Jet Island. Yeah, I would be in that game, and, like, I'd just be doing some shit in that game, and it's almost like you're in a dream. Like, you're having, like, a real dream, and you're just, like... Like, have you ever done that where you're just thinking, like, the deepest thoughts, and for, like, 35 minutes you're, like, having some super deep-ass thought about life and everything because you're just, like, in this weird VR state? And I haven't experienced that in so many years. It's sad.
You need to check out Neos, which is kind of it's a social platform on PC VR. And now when I say you need to check it out, you need to have someone show you it. You don't need to go check it out on your own because it's super complicated and technical. But literally, Neos can do anything that your imagination can come up with. You can do it pretty quickly in Neos. And I was very impressed with it when I was shown it a few months back.
By Skiva, right?
Skiva. Shout out Skiva. Anyway, what are we? We're well over an hour now, right? Yeah, hour and 15 minutes. I guess we should probably wrap it up. Anthony, I appreciate you joining us. I wish it hadn't been so long since we could caught up, and hopefully it won't be so long before we catch up again. Hopefully you'll try on a Quest 3 and it'll be this transformative experience for you, and you'll be playing the next generation of Dr. Zord boards with zombies coming out of your wall. And
I've always wanted a Magic Leap, baby. Always wanted.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what Quest 3 is about to deliver is leap years, light years ahead of anything Magic Leap ever showed you. So it might be time to give it a demo, or at the very least, go to the Apple Store early next year and try on one of those $3,000 monstrosities that have your eyes on the front of it.
Yeah, I would love to try a PlayStation VR 2 just for like 10 minutes, you know, just to see the screen quality and stuff. Oh, regarding PlayStation VR 2, if I was to try that, like, what game would I want to try in there?
Resident Evil 8, Gran Turismo 7. Those are the ones.
For sure. Well, there's, see, this, the biggest story for me for PlayStation VR 2 hasn't been the optics as much as it's been the haptics and the controls.
Haptics. Yeah, the haptics are amazing.
The games that really do it. Oh, Anthony, No Man's Sky. If you ever want to play No Man's Sky and actually have it look amazing, they finally fucking did it. It finally actually looks crystal clear and amazing with foveated rendering. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's my biggest frustration with PlayStation VR 2 is when the devs don't utilize the hardware.
Oh,
they've got all these amazing tools to use, and some of them just don't do it.
Red Matter 2. You need to check out Red Matter 2 as well. No matter what you play it on, any device you play that on, it's going to drop your jaw. You'll be wowed.
Red Matter 2?
Red Matter 2, yeah. Yeah, it's really, really amazing.
Yeah, Vertical Robot. I mean, I was down with Red Matter from the beginning, man. I thought Red Matter was so dope the first time.
This one's better. Yeah. The movement's better, looks better, the story's better. There's action, there's a gun.
Still love, like, when it comes to VR, I mean, one thing I do miss is just, like, you know, going to that alien planet, you know, and just exploring an alien world in VR, boots on the ground, you know, and just, like, going through a new world, like Seeking Dawn or something, you know, just, you know, your standard game. It's like, that will never get old. Like, I could, like, if I was in VR now, I'd always want to have one of those games where it's like, what is my best on a new alien world game where I'm exploring a new, like, just keep making those and just keep making them incrementally better.
No, well, you're right, Roots. No Man's Sky might be the one for him. It's a little too much for me, but I mean, if you like exploration of alien worlds, that's infinite alien worlds for you to explore right there.
Well, not only that, but they added, Anthony, they've done so many, like, releases of DLC that's free, like, content, that it's the game that came out. Not only does it look better, play better, it makes Starfield, Bethesda's gem, look like shit. It's why I can't look at Starfield and think it's a good game, because it's like Fallout 4. It's got they're heavily relying on the community to mod out all their bullshit. I think Bethesda, to me, is becoming one of the most laziest companies on a release that I've ever seen. But I don't know. That's probably recency bias on that game.
And then, after the Prey Dog mod comes to PC, you'll probably want to go play Returnal in VR.
Have you ever played Returnal, Anthony?
No. My son does have phenomenal. A PlayStation 5. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Returnal.
It's one of the best games I've played. It's a shooter. It's a roguelite. It's the story, everything about it is
alien world. I mean, that's one of the most alien worlds you'll ever find yourself on. And it's so immersive, even on a flat screen. It's the only flat screen game that has held my attention for any amount of time since I got into VR. And I played it for over 100 hours and beat it on PS5. Because it just
I'm playing retro games, bruh. Seriously, I just play like freaking Super Nintendo and shit.
Where I was at before VR.
Contra 3, the Alien Wars, baby. That's my jam.
Anyway, thank you for joining us, Anthony. Hopefully we talk to you again soon. And I don't really want to throw it back to those jerks, Roots, the future
rude
Roots
jerks.
Wes, but I guess it's time for us to do that, hey.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.